So today I want to, during this season of Lent, also spend time really reflecting on our scriptures. And so we're going to do as we did in February. I'm going to invite you to not read it. I'm going to invite you to sit back, close your eyes, and listen to Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. And we're going to read it a couple times. The first time you're listening for a word or a phrase that really jumps out at you. So close your eyes and hear this word of the Lord for you today. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his. The sea is his, for he made it. And the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. This is the word of the Lord. Any word or phrase that jumped out at anybody in that?
Rock.
Rejoice.
Joyful.
Anybody else?
Salvation.
Anything else?
Yes.
Let's close our eyes and listen to it again. This time, you may hear a word or phrase that jumps out at you, but this time as you hear this word of God, ask yourself this: what are you saying to me, God, in this passage? Hear this word of the Lord for you. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Anybody hear God saying something to you in this passage?
Be thankful.
Thankful, being thankful.
Make a joyful noise.
Making a joyful noise.
Praising him.
Praising God.
Walking
with God. Anybody else hear something God's saying to you or to us?
Worship.
Yeah, worship. It's all about worship. Anybody else? I like to do these, it's called Lectio Divina, divine reading. I like to do it because I think it really focuses our hearts and minds on God's word and how God's word always speaks to us if we're listening. Today, as I mentioned earlier, is the first Sunday of Lent, the 40 days or 6 weeks that we prepare our hearts for Easter. But Lent is also the wilderness time. It's modeled after the 40 days that Jesus went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil after 40 days of not eating, not drinking, no companionship. And that was his preparation for ministry. So when we think about Lent and these 40 days, these 6 weeks, it's our preparation to truly celebrate Holy Week and Easter. During Lent, we remember who we are. But we also remember who God is, who Jesus is, our Savior, our salvation. And it starts with Ash Wednesday, as I was reminding the kids, with the sign of the cross on our forehead in ashes, reminding us that we are just human. To dust we will return. And we need our Savior. That sign of the cross is we belong to Jesus. Our theme this year throughout Lent is walking with Jesus. And on Wednesday night, I talked about how that is a very common theme throughout the Bible. God walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. God told Moses to walk up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. Moses told the people to walk with God. God told Abram to walk with God. And in the New Testament, Paul says often to walk in newness of life, to walk with our Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus specifically encourages people to walk with him. We heard him today saying to follow me. And on Wednesday, I was telling you that Greek word, akalutheo, to follow, it really means to walk alongside, to go on a journey with. And it kind of sounds like it too, like I call, you follow, akalutheo. So Jesus talks about us walking with him. That really is our Lenten journey. That's what we're doing all throughout Lent. We're walking with Jesus. Today, later in our service, we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns, which is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And the words are so beautiful. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Is that not who we are? We are weak. We are tired. We are worn out when we come to this place. And we need to take the hand of Jesus to walk with us to the light and eventually to our eternal home. That's who we are. We're people that walk with Jesus. In February, we talked about having healthy hearts for mission and lots of ideas about what we can do in our own lives and in our life as a church community. During Lent, the idea is that we take those good inspirations and we put them into action. We don't just talk about following Jesus. We walk the walk with Jesus. And that's why I'll be talking about a great book called The Walk by Adam Hamilton. And in his book, he talks about five essential practices that involve walking with Jesus: worship, study, serve, give, and share. And the first one of those is worship, and that's what I want to talk about today. That's why we heard Psalm 95 in that way. And I wanted to ask you, when you hear the word worship, what's the first thing that you think of? Anybody? Music? Anybody else? Praying? Yeah? Anybody, you hear the word worship and what do you think of?
Gathering together.
Church?
Worship is that time when we come to worship God. But as you are saying these things, it's also a time when we come to receive from God. We receive blessings from the music, from the prayers, from the gatherings. Worship is so central to our faith, and it's also central to this Lenten journey. Worship is the whole reason we have things like Ash Wednesday and Holy Week and Maundy Thursday, and we celebrate all these different things through worship. Psalm 95, in his book, The Walk, Adam Hamilton talks about how Psalm 95 reminds us that we are supposed to be a living, what did I bury? What was the word? A living alleluia. That's worship. It's when we embody that alleluia, that worshiping God. But it's more than that. It's about all the things we say and do for God. We say things like, we love you, God. We praise you. We rejoice with you. We say thank you. Worship is about all of those things. It's also about saying things that we need to hear in our own personal relationships. And it helps sometimes. It helps me to think about my relationship with God and Jesus the way I have a relationship with other people. And think about this. When you're in a good relationship with people, don't you need to hear things like, thank you? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I love you. We need to hear these things in our relationship. Well, we also need to hear and say them in our relationship with God. If we don't hear them in our relationships, we suffer. And the same is true with God. In Sunday school today, I was reminding them of one of my favorite authors, a really crazy Presbyterian lady named Anne Lamott, and she writes great books. And she says, really, there's just two prayers. They all boil down to two prayers. One is, help me, help me. And the other one is, thank you, thank you. These are things we need to hear. These are things we need to say. And Hamilton talks about how worship is just all of our response to God. All the ways we respond to God. Worship is what we were actually made to do. We are made to worship God. We are made to respond to God's love and God's grace. And we're made to do things that Psalm 95 mentions, like bowing down, humbling ourselves, thinking about how God is God and we are not. The Old English word for worship actually means to honor someone who is worthy. And I love that too. We heard that in Psalm 95. God is worthy. Why? Because God's the one who made everything. God made the land, the sea. God is our shepherd. God is worthy of our praise. When I was in seminary, I had to memorize the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is a confession in the Book of Confessions for Presbyterians. And they're each questions and answers. And the very first question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Did you notice what it said about glorify and enjoy? That's what we do in worship. We're enjoying God. That's what Jews do on their Sabbath. Friday night to Saturday night is their Sabbath, and they enjoy and worship and love God. That's what Christians do on Sundays, because that's the day Jesus was raised from the dead. We enjoy God. And why do we do all of that? At the end of the week, we do it because that's what God did after creation. 6 days of hard work making all of us and all of that. And on the seventh day, it was a day to rest and enjoy. Because what did God say about creation? Did God say this is a mess? No.
It's good.
It is good. It is very good. So I wonder, as we're thinking about this enjoying God, how do you enjoy God? How do you enjoy worship? Anybody? What are things you enjoy about worship and loving God? Anything?
The way I feel when
the way you feel when you're worshiping God? Yeah? What else? Something you enjoy about worship, you enjoy about loving God?
Music.
The music, it stirs our soul.
Peace.
Peace. I enjoy all the people. The people, the faces, the expressions, the hearts. What else? Anything that you enjoy about worship?
The sermon.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Praise God for that. This is why we work hard to put worship together. So that it's something enjoyable. I believe firmly in that, that when we come here to worship God, it's not about hearing just some fire and brimstone and scary stuff. It's about coming to be refreshed, renewed. It's about coming to receive the power of God. And it's also about coming before God and doing worship. Worship is not a spectator sport, right? Worship is something that we participate in. We all have something to do. There are things in worship that we do together. What are some of the things we do together in worship?
Sing.
We sing together. We pray together. We affirm our faith together. We have creeds that we say together. And even the offertory that we see, that offertory is not a performance. That offertory is a gift to God. And when we appreciate it, we are appreciating God. We're showing gratitude for that. Sadly, worship is not a frequent thing for people in our country right now. The church is exploding in the southern hemisphere, but not so much where we are. In fact, studies show that most people are shopping or at sporting events on Sunday, not in worship. But when we think about what worship does for us, it's kind of like charging your phone. Now, how do you feel when you don't charge your phone?
Isolated.
You feel isolated. Same is true of worship. We come to worship because we want to plug into that power source of God. We come to worship because we want to be charged with God's power and love and mercy. And when we don't participate in worship, we tend to feel a little bit isolated. Adam Hamilton challenged his very large Methodist church to make an A in worship. Now, anybody I know, school was a while ago, but what is the percentage that you have to have an A? Percentage and above? 90%. So he encouraged his congregation in the upcoming year to be in worship 90% of the time, which means you only have 5 or 6 Sundays that you miss. Now that sounds really like a big challenge, right? It's hard. It's hard to make worship. But he talked about the power that comes when we do worship, the power that comes when we do gather together. And when we hear things like Psalm 95, someone who is describing just bowing down before God, just reveling in who God is and what God has done, we know how important worship is. There's also another component of worship that is very central. We do confess, we do come together, we do hear music, but we also say something that we need to say to each other all the time. 2 words: thank you. Worship involves gratitude. It's really why we're here. We're here because we're saying thank you, God, for everything that you have done and everything that you've given us. Hamilton has this great quote in his book, and it's from a director of Duke Medical School. And he talks about how gratitude is really good for our health, not just our spiritual health, but our emotional and physical health. It actually helps you to be grateful. And he says if gratitude were a drug, it would be the world's best-selling product, with a health maintenance indication for every major organ system. I agree with that. Gratitude. How do we do that in our everyday lives and every week when we gather for worship? Are we sharing our gratitude? Are we counting all of our blessings? Because that's something that Jesus did. It's something we see in the Lord's Prayer. All the things that God offers us, including our daily bread. It's something we see all throughout the Bible. Paul talks about it a ton. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he talks about how we should rejoice once in a while. No, it's rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In Philippians 4, Paul talks about how we should focus our hearts and minds on things that are bad? No. On the things that are holy, that are pure, that are good, that are righteous. We are called as human beings to be grateful, to count our blessings. And the problem is, we usually are focused on what? What are we usually focused on? We're usually focused on our long to-do list. We're usually focused on worry, anxiety, fear. But worship reminds us that we need to turn our hearts and minds to what is good. In his book, Hamilton talks about the power of corporate worship, but also the power of individual worship. In Sunday school today, Mark made the greatest point that when we are doing anything in our lives, if we are doing it excellently, that's part of worshiping God. If you are using the gifts and talents that God gave you, no matter what you're doing, washing the dishes, fixing a clock, helping a friend or a family member, if you are doing that to the best of your ability, that is worship. Another part of individual worship is prayer. One of the most recent surveys of prayer across the country says that 41% of men and 59% of women pray every day. Why is that not 100%? Why is that not 150%? Because we often think we're just too busy. But aren't we too busy to not pray? I mean, isn't prayer what we really need, no matter what we're facing, what we're going through? That's part of worshiping on our own. It's part of plugging into the outlet of God's power. And just like kids sometimes get a present, and what do parents say? They're like, say thank you, say thank you. Worship can be like that for us. We come to worship and it's kind of like this little reminder of, oh yeah, say thank you. Be grateful. Be happy for what God has given you. And do your very best with all of it to worship God. The Lord's Prayer is our model that we hear every week, and it has in there praise, thanksgiving, rejoicing in who God is. Hamilton challenged his congregation to take your hand, and pray at least this many times a day, which cracks me up because I feel like I pray a bazillion times a day. But just to pray in the morning, at night, and then when you eat, three times a day. That's a good reminder, right? To pray at all those five times a day. And really, I would say you could pray any time of day, anytime, no matter whether you have words or no words. Maybe you're just working on something for God. All of that is prayer. So as we enter this Lenten season, I want to challenge us to do that. I want to challenge us to worship at maybe an A, or go for a B first. I want to challenge us to pray at least five times a day. And I want to challenge us to be grateful and plug into that power of God by praising God for what we have been given, what we have been shown. That is how we walk with Jesus through this season of Lent. And for that, all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. It can be found on page 35 of your hymn.